Blog Talk Radio. To read for you today a few pages.
Beginning of the End, Chapter 2, Creation, God's Answer to Evolution. This chapter is based on Genesis 1 and 2. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9. As the earth came into being from the hand of its maker, it was unbelievably beautiful. Everywhere the fruitful soil produced luxuriant green vegetation. There were no foul swamps, nor barren deserts. Graceful shrubs and delicate flowers greeted the eye at every turn. The air was clear and healthful. The entire landscape was more beautiful than the decorated grounds of the proudest palace. After the earth had been called into existence, teeming with animal and vegetable life, human beings, the crowning work of the Creator, were brought upon the stage of action. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over all the earth." So God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. The origin of the human race is explained clearly here. God created us in his own image. There is no reason to suppose that we evolved by slow degrees from lower forms of animal or vegetable life. Inspiration traces the origin of our race not to a line of developing germs, molluscs, and quadrupeds, but to the great Creator. Though formed from the dust, Adam was the Son of God. Luke chapter 3, verse 38. The lower orders of being cannot grasp the concept of God, yet they were made capable of loving and serving human beings. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air. Psalm 8, verses 6 to 8. Christ alone is the express image, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, of the Father. But Adam and Eve were formed in the likeness of God. Their nature was in harmony with the will of God, their minds capable of comprehending divine things. Their affections were pure. Their appetites and passions were under the control of reason. They were holy and happy in bearing the image of God and in perfectly obeying His will. As our first parents came forth from the hand of their Creator, their faces glowed with the light of life and joy. Adam's height was much greater than that of men now living. Eve was somewhat less tall, yet her form was noble and full of beauty. The sinless pair wore no artificial garments. They were clothed with a covering of light, such as the angels wear. The first marriage. After the creation of Adam, God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." God gave Adam a companion fitted for him, who would be one with him in love and sympathy. Eve was created from a rib taken from Adam's side. She was not to control him as the head, nor to be trampled under his feet as an inferior, but to stand by his side as an equal, loved and protected by him. She was his second self, showing the close union that should exist in this relationship. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Marriage is honorable. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It is one of the two institutions that, after the fall, Adam brought with him beyond the gates of paradise. When the divine principles are recognized and obeyed, marriage is a blessing. It guards the purity and happiness of the race and elevates the physical, intellectual, and moral nature. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Trees of every variety were in this garden, many of them heavy with delicious fruit. There were lovely vines growing upright, their branches drooping under their load of tempting fruit. It was the work of Adam and Eve to train the branches of the vine to form bowers, thus making a home for themselves from living trees covered with foliage and fruit. In the middle of the garden stood the tree of life, surpassing in glory all other trees. Its fruit had the power to sustain life forever. The heavens and the earth, and all the host of them, were finished. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. No taint of sin or shadow of death marred the beautiful creation. The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job chapter 38, verse 7. The blessing of the Sabbath. In 6 days the great work of creation had been accomplished, and God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. All was perfect, worthy of its divine author, and he rested not as someone who is tired, but as someone who is pleased with the results of his wisdom and goodness. After resting on the seventh day, God set it apart as a day of rest. Following the example of the Creator, his human creatures were to rest upon this sacred day, so they might think about God's work of creation and their hearts be filled with love and reverence for their Maker. The Sabbath was given to the whole human family. In observing it, they would gratefully show that they recognized God as their Creator and rightful ruler. They were the work of his hands, the subjects of his authority. God saw that a Sabbath was essential for human beings, even in paradise. They needed to lay aside their own interests for one day of the seven. They needed a Sabbath to remind them of God and to awaken gratitude, because all that they enjoyed came from the hand of the Creator. God designs that the Sabbath will direct our minds to his created works. The beauty that clothes the earth is a token of God's love. The everlasting hills, the lofty trees, the opening buds and delicate flowers all speak to us of God. The Sabbath, pointing to him who made them all, invites us to open the book of nature and find in it the wisdom, power, and love of the Creator. Our first parents were created innocent and holy, but they were not placed beyond the possibility of wrongdoing. God made them free to think and decide for themselves. They could choose whether to obey or disobey. But before they could be eternally secure, their loyalty must be tested. At the beginning of human existence, God placed a check upon self-indulgence, the fatal desire that lay at the foundation of Satan's fall. The tree of knowledge was to be a test of the obedience, faith, and love of our first parents. They were forbidden to taste the fruit of this tree, on pain of death. They were to be exposed to the temptations of Satan, but if they endured the trial successfully, they would be placed beyond his power to enjoy unending favor with God. The beautiful Garden of Eden. God placed human beings under law, subjects of the divine government. God could have created them without the power to sin. He could have prevented them from touching the forbidden fruit. But then Adam and Eve would have been mere robots. Without freedom of choice, their obedience would have been forced. Such a course would have been contrary to God's plan, unworthy of the intelligent beings he created, and would have sustained Satan's charge of God's arbitrary rule. God made our first parents honorable, with no bias toward evil. He presented before them the strongest possible motivations to be true. Obedience was the condition of eternal happiness and access to the tree of life. The home of our first parents was to be a pattern for other homes, as their children should go and occupy the earth. People today take pride and delight in magnificent and costly homes and glory in the work of their own hands. But God placed Adam in a garden. This was a lesson for all time. True happiness is not found by indulging in pride and luxury, but by communing with God through His created works. Pride and ambition are never satisfied, but people who are truly wise will find pleasure in the enjoyment God has placed within the reach of all. The care of the garden was committed to the couple in Eden, to tend and keep it. God appointed work as a blessing, to occupy the mind, strengthen the body, and develop the abilities. Adam found one of the highest pleasures of his holy existence in mental and physical activity. It is a mistake to think of work as a curse, even though it bring weariness and pain. The rich often look down upon the working classes, but this is out of harmony with God's purpose in the creation. Adam was not to be idle. Our Creator, who understands what is for our happiness, appointed Adam his work. The true joy of life is found only by working men and women. The Creator has prepared no place for do-nothing laziness. The holy pair were not only children under the fatherly care of God, but students receiving instruction from the all-wise Creator. They were visited by angels and had the privilege of talking face to face with their Maker. They were full of vigor imparted by the tree of life, their intellectual power only slightly less than that of the angels. The laws of nature were opened to their minds by the infinite Creator and upholder of all. Adam was familiar with every living creature, from the mighty whale among the waters to the speck of an insect that floats in the sunbeam. He had given a name to each one, and he was acquainted with the nature and habits of all. God's name was written on every leaf of the forest, in every shining star, in earth and air and sky. The order and harmony of creation spoke of infinite wisdom and power. So long as Adam and Eve remained loyal to the divine law, they would be constantly gaining new treasures of knowledge, discovering fresh springs of happiness, and obtaining clearer understandings of the immeasurable, unfailing love of God.
Amen, amen, brothers and sisters. I will open the line for Sister Powell. And Sister Powell and Sister Leola is the host for this evening. So, Sister Powell, your line is open. Sister Powell, your line is open, and you can begin.
Thank you, Sister Leola. You're there? You're hearing me?
Amen.
Yeah, welcome, brothers and sisters, and Advent Light Proline. We just want to give you thanks and praise for joining today on our line, and we are asking our brothers and sisters to really share the goodness of God, what God has been doing for them, because we want to make this line for every each one of us, that it become a part that we can share without be afraid. So before we start, I'm going to read the power of God. And this is a little scripture from John 9, and before I pray, right? I'm just going to read and then I'm going to pray. And this is the story is about the man born blind. And the scripture here, 1 to 6, and I will do 18. It said here, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sin, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And then 6 said, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the speaker, and he anointed the eye of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, It's not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that after aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eye. Then again the Pharisees, Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I wash and see it. I'm going to 17 said, They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he had opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. I stop there and then we finish. But let us pray on this reading and then we can focus our mind upon it. Father in heaven, we want to thank you, dear God, for the privilege of your word. We want to thank you that you have given us health and strength and that we can come to join tonight on this prayer line to give praises and to bring glory to your name. Lord, as we read your word, Lord, Father, we see how great you are. Even with this blind man, dear God, that you open his eyes. But there were unbelieving Pharisees and others who were there who did not believe that you have done it. So, Lord, help us that we will understand how powerful and how great you are, that we can put all our burdens, our trust, our problem, our sickness, our pain, our aching unto you, because you cares for us and you promise that you will take care of your children. So, Lord, myself and Sister Leola will be hosting this line. We ask you, Father God, to allow our brothers and our sisters that they will join us and share. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, I just want to give you thanks and praise to God for what he has been doing for us. So I'm asking you all to press number one so that we can share your testimony, a reading, even a little comment on this, the reading that we read a while ago about the blind man. Eyes were open, and we're going to see the result, the how God will be working and how he is working in our heart. Can you press number one so that the line will be open?
Yes, Sister Powell. No one has pressed one as of yet, but I would like to just read a scripture, and I want to just read this little prophecy. And I would like to read the scripture, Psalms 23. That was always the psalm everyone knows, and we say that Psalms quite often. And it says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to just share this prophecy because I always thought about this as I come up in life. And it says, by beholding, we are to become changed. And as we meditate upon the perfection of our divine model, we shall desire to become holy, transformed, and renewed in the image of his purity. There will be a hungering and a thirsting of soul to be made like him whom we adore. The more our thoughts are upon Christ, the more we shall speak of him to others and represent him to the world. We are called to come out and be separate from the world, that we may be the sons and daughters of the Most High. And we are under sacred obligation to glorify God as his children upon the earth. It is essential that the mind should stay upon Christ, that we may hope to end for grace that is to be brought unto us and revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven. So I just wanted to share that, because as I thought about as I was growing up, and I looked at friends and just looking around you, and you know, if we pay attention, when I looked around me, I saw so many people, and I said, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to do that. But I thought, when I hear people, how they go to church and how they participate in church, and when I saw when we were children, we would often, every summer, we would prepare for the Bible school, or what you would say, Bible vacation on the summertime after school closed. And when I start looking at how the people would act in church, it was different. And I just looked, and I never really said that, you know, never really said nothing, but I always thought on those things, because I saw elderly people in the church. They fussed, they were fighting, they were doing these things. And the Bible says, by beholding. So when God showed me, sisters and brothers, his word, he showed me his Sabbath, and I saw so much confusion in church. And when he showed me the Sabbath, I say, you know, Lord, I've been wondering about this Sabbath for years. And brothers and sisters, when I learned a little bit more, I came out, because there was times where the pastor was teaching me wrong things. And I say, this is not according to the word. So I just want to thank God. He said, by beholding, I beheld the Bible. By beholding, you become changed. So when I beheld this Bible and I studied this Bible and read, some things just didn't make sense. And as my husband was just telling me about one of his coworkers, now this is another person. He didn't finish telling me, Sister Carla was calling. He was just telling me that his coworker was saying, he said, you going to church this weekend? He said, no. He said, I don't believe that. I don't go to church on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. I don't believe in on Easter Sunday. He said, I got a problem with that. He said, they tell me Jesus died on Friday, and he said, and he rose on Sunday. He said, that didn't make sense. He said, because looking at the time that Jesus was saying, he said, so that would have made him rose on Monday. He said, no. He said, I didn't accept that. He didn't believe the lie. So, but he told Ray, he said, he don't understand it all, but he knows something was wrong. So I just want to thank God. And Ray asked him, he said, man, you read the Bible, huh? And he said, yes. So by beholding, we become changed when we behold the word of God. Thank you, Sister Power. And I'll
yes,
offer a prayer.
Yes, Leola.
Amen.
Thank you for reading this wonderful passage in Psalms 23, because, you know, this is a passage that strengthens us, that even from we are a child, we learn it. And we know that Jesus is our good shepherd. And you know, we read what a good shepherd is. a good shepherd giveth life to his sheep, just as how if even one of his little sheep gone, he has to go and search for him. So Jesus, our good shepherd, he gave us these words to let us know that he will be there for us, he will keep, he will guide us. And I thank God that you, this message that he have given you from a little child, reading this scripture, this passage, and, you know, God teach us and show us, you know, the way of life. And in even reading it, we know that we have to be a good soul for him, and one who trusts him, and be sure to know that he will keep us. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. These are the things that he promised us, right? And when he promises us all these things, you know, we cannot be afraid, because he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. So from you was small, you were there in the house of the Lord, where you listen to the word, and right there, even though you was a small person in the child, God showed you that what they were saying, it wasn't right. So we thank God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Sister Leola, and we have to continue to give the Lord the praise, because he is worthy to be praised. So thank you, Sister Leola, for sharing, and also for Brother Ray, dear, that he can, you know, share the word with his co-worker and to point them to Christ, because there's a lot of saying out there, and everyone have different things, but you know what? We are here by the grace of God to help others who do not understand, and also ourselves to continue to study the word. So I just want to thank you, Sister Leola, for sharing. Amen. Is there anyone else who'd like to share? Yes, brothers and sisters, we are asking you by 8 o'clock. We're asking for prayer, and Brother O'Neill will be coming on. And if Brother O'Neill is on the line, Brother O'Neill, we definitely want to end of around 8:30. We want to be obedient on time that we have, you know, our brothers and sisters can get their rest. No, so we are trying to really be on time. Yes, brothers and sisters on the line, listener, we are asking you to share. And as I was reading a while ago about the blind man, this is a miracle that Jesus had wrought. And we listen to it again. This blind man, he was born blind, right? And this man was blind, born, was begging. He was a beggar. And Jesus passed by this man, and he saw him. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? You know, because the disciples thought that this man is because of his sin why he was there blind. So they are questioning Jesus, and they said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus answered them, saying, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the word of God might be made manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me, while in this day the night cometh when no man can work. So Jesus is letting them know there is no sin come from the man, nor the things that he have done. But Jesus just want to know that he has power, right? And his power that he has, he can heal the man anytime. And Jesus is going to wrought a miracle with this man, and they're going to be unbeliever will be there, like the Jews. They're going to saw the miracle that Jesus wrought with this man. So we're going to hear further what happened. They want to know if it's what the parents did or what this man did. But Jesus telling them, no, this man wasn't a man that his parents caused it, or he himself does it. So it's like, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is showing them. Jesus is presenting who he is, that he is the light of the world. And Jesus himself can heal this broken blind man. So Jesus is going to work the miracle with them, and there we're going to find further that both to the Pharisees, believer, how much they questioning this gentleman. And in the passage, the scripture passage has said, told us that this man, after he had been healed, he was testifying, he was sharing, he wasn't being afraid, because you know the Jews want to kill, they want to fight, they want to do all manner of things. So, but this man wasn't afraid of them. He started to evangelize. He started to tell them the story. And all he is trying to tell them the story, they did not believe. So let me listen to a little till somebody come on. Sister Leola, you can just tell me that I can stop when somebody come on. So it said here, what Jesus had done, he said here, when he had thus spoken, he spoke to the disciple, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed his eyes of the blind man with the clay. Look there, the ground. So the ground is clay, and he uses spittle. In this day, this time, this day, even this virus coming up, what do you think they would do or say in this period where we're having this disease, right, coming down now upon the earth? They are saying to us, we must wash our hands, we must sanitize everything, we must do this and do that, because this germs, this disease is bad. But look what Jesus do, brothers and sisters, on Advent light tonight, dear, you know. Jesus is Jesus, and he came here to save. He came here to bring light to us. But he had a remedy. This man came in front of him, and he want them to know that I can do all things, and I can use my spittle, just the spit. Oh, they would say it's nasty, right? Wow. Even the children would face, would make up their face. And he took it and he put it on his eyes, right? He anointed the eyes. So then that clay and the spittle become the ointment for the eyes, right? And after he put it on his eyes, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Right? Which is by interpretation, sent. So he sent him to the pool to wash. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. What a miracle, what a good God we serve. Right? Is the spit or the clay had allowed this man to see? It was the power of God, right? Work the miracle through that thing and could let that man see. So now look here. This man came now. All these years this man was blind. Now the neighbors saw this man. They were all, you know, excited because they knew that this man before couldn't see, right? So when they saw that this man was the blind man, that was there, sat begging, and some said, this is he. Others said, no, he is like him. But he said, I am he. So you see, the man did not disown what God have done for him. He was so happy and glad to know that God was able to touch him. So he met Jesus. And because he met Jesus, this man started to evangelize. Brothers and sisters, you see, oh, when God do greatness for us, when God bless us, when God, you know, take us out of the pit, the mud. But brothers and sister, we have to give him praise, thank him for what he has done, because all these things he have done for us to glory, to bring glory to him, and to let others know, despite of the condition you are, despite of the situation you are in, if you trust me, I am here. I will help you so that you can recover any situation. So I am so amazed. you know, excited this evening to know that, you know what, this man did not just sit down and did not go to tell them. And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus, look here, he is talking to the people that are flocking him. He said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool and wash. And I went and I washed and received sight. Then they said unto him, where is he? That was what the Jews, where is he? He said, I know not. So they bought to the Pharisees him that after time was blind. So, you know, they want to kill him now, you know. They want to do all manner of things.
Yes.
So they question him. But the man was not afraid. Whatsoever they want to do, then he knew that this man called Jesus had given him sight. So he is going to cheer it and tell others. So it said, and it happened on the Sabbath day. And when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, it was
Amen.
On the Sabbath day.
Sister Powell, we got two. Sister Powell, we have
okay.
two questions. So let us open the line. Amen.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Open, my dear.
We open the line for 985-232. Your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I want to thank God for many blessings we receive throughout the week, the day, the hour, the prayers, the study we had during the morning, and all the above. I just want to give thanks for my brothers and sisters while we're on this prayer line this afternoon. I kept fighting the devil. I was trying to go to, I went to sleep and I couldn't wake up. But I finally made it. It was hard.
Amen.
But I made it.
Amen.
I want to read a prayer. Dear God, I am grateful for your love and the assurance you give me. Give me that you will always be with me. I can't make it through this world without you. Lord, you give me the strength I need to bear the trials. And the will to keep going on. May I never try to stray away from your covering.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord, for his words of encouragement. They keep me going, and I use them daily in here. And I tell you, it helps me to stay in this house and continue to use them. And his scripts and all the above, and share with other fellow mates. And I have a lot of likes. So I thank the Lord. Look like I just be saying, I tell them, I say, yeah, let's have church. I see a lot of people be liking it that, you know, don't even like church. And I'm like, boy, the Lord is getting some attention now. Thank you, Jesus. We having church on Facebook and on the phone now, because God say peace be still, and it's my turn, my world. Y'all gonna obey me. So this is what some of this is about, for us to get right and give God his time and give him the word and give him his honor and glory for giving his only begotten son, and stop ignoring him. Amen. So God bless and happy Sabbath, and everyone have a blessed Sabbath. Let Brother John.
Amen.
Yeah, this is John from Louisiana, and yeah, my wife, a lot of things she said, I mean, she was talking from the heart, and I just want to say also that that God is a mighty God, and I noticed, like, for the last couple months or last month or so, I've seen a lot of people pulling together and helping each other, you know, like the way it always was supposed to be, you know, because they always
Amen.
Have some people, a lot of people in the world that does help one another and has been always doing it. And some of them, you know, change their ways and become that type of person that does it. But I know for the last month or so, a month and a half, it's like I've been seeing more people than way a lot more. Very courteous to one another, you know. And to me, it looked like it woke a lot of people up, for sure, a lot of things. And like the way law wanted it to be, with everyone helping everyone, it was like sometimes certain, you know, times people get together, but during this still crisis time, I know a lot of people have, and I even know some people that you know wasn't really the nice type of person. Some people a lot of seen out there, and I've seen them doing some things unusual, helping people, and I said, wow, this has really, you know, changed a lot of people around, you know, to change their heart around for the better. And and I just hope, you know, like, even when this is long over with, that people still continue to help one another like they're doing around this crisis time. And you know, the ones that's been doing it, keep on doing the good work and doing a good job for the Lord and doing things like that to make your life more better for yourself, too, you know, because you reap what you sow. So, but I just want to tell you that I've seen some people that didn't normally do it. I've seen them doing some different things and very nice thing, and that's all I have to say, you know. I just wanted to share that. I guess that was my testimony, you know. It's good to see people being there for one another. So hope the world stay that way. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming and sharing. You know, God is so good. He is so great. We want to thank Sister Brenda for that prayer. You know what? We have to always give God everything. And when we know that God will give you the strength, and praying that God will never leave you, God promised us that He will, Sister Brenda. So just keep trusting in Him. He's able. And also, Brother John, this is a change. It allows each one of us to go search our heart. And when we see it and saw what people is doing now, we know that this little wake-up call here help people to live just like what the Lord told them, that they must live, love one another, just as though He loves His Father. And it's really happening. So your prayer, Brother John, and my prayer and our prayer is to pray that the people continue to do what the Lord want them to do, because that is exactly what the Lord want them to do. So thank you for sharing, Brother John and Sister Brenda. Yes, Sister Leola, can you open up? Anyone else?
Yes, we have 857-505. Your line is open.
Hello, Sister Leola and Sister Power. My name is Brother Eli. Hello, Sister Leola and Sister Power. Can you hear me? Hallelujah.
I guess,
Brother
Eli, we're asking you if you could be briefly for us, please.
Yes, I can. My prayer, I like to thank God because God is good. God is faithful. He's ready to be praised. I have a prayer request, Sister Power. My prayer request at this moment is to pray for my mother. Live for my mother in prayer because my mom is not feeling well. Don't forget to pray for my mom too, Sister Miel and Sister Fallon, because my mom needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to pray for me. With me, I'm in prayer. And don't forget to pray for Sister Castellana, Sister Miola, because Castellana is on the prayer line at Veline Ministry. So let's all have in prayer at this moment because Castellana is living in East Boston. So let's all have in prayer, brothers and sisters, because God will bring everything for her brothers and sisters. Let's blessing the Lord because God is able. God is a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. There is no one else like him. Don't forget to pray for Sister Daisy. Pray for Daisy. Pray for Pablo. Pray for Sister Adela. There's a Sister Adela in prayer. Pray for Isma. Pray for all the clients to lift them up in prayer. And Sister Pamela, I feel like to sing a song before you. Okay. I give for you everything. I give for you. With holy nothing, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. Sister Powerful, Sister Katiana.
Amen. Amen. Thank
you.
Okay, thank you, Brother Eli. Yes, sure, we will be praying for them. Thank you for sharing. Yes, Sister Leola, anyone else? Sister Leola? Hello? Yes, brothers and sisters, thank you. Sister Leola? Hello?
Sister Leola, line is open. 804-238, your line is open.
Amen. Can you hear me?
Amen. Amen,
sister. Amen. Good evening, Sister Powell and Sister Leola. Thank you for opening my line. This is Sister Carla from Virginia. Just thanking the Lord for his mercy, his love towards us. And, you know, we know the Lord said our bread and our water shall be sure. So we have to trust in him. And, you know, he said we're going to go through some trying times. We're going to have some trials. So, I thank the Lord for these times and trials to get us prepared for his soon coming, to get us more prepared for what's going to come upon the earth, because we're going to have to go, you know, delay of hunger. We're going to have starvation, poverty, you know, without food and without our warm house or a warm bed. We're going to have to do without. And I thank the Lord because as I was studying yesterday with some youths, you know, we know the Lord has great things for us to be kings and priests. I mean, for us to be able to go to different part of the world to rule with him and to be able to go to different galaxy. You know, it's for this trial that we're going to go through, you know, for us to be his angels on earth to proclaim him as our Lord and our Savior. You know, what a mighty work we have to do. So we have to get prepared for battle. As I was sharing with my son at devotion, you know, the military, you know, they sign up to be in the military, to be in the army for whatever country fight. You know, some die, lose their soul, and we don't know if they, you know, had a walk with Christ. But we know if we're sign up for the military with God, if we're his people, his disciple, we know if we lose our life, we will pick it up again. You know, when he comes, we will rise, and we are fighting for, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principality, against, you know, darkness, the rulers of this world, against, you know, evil, basically, that's going on that we can't see. But if our eyes were open, we will see angel all around us protecting us. So I just want to share a part of this devotion. I know I don't probably have a lot of time, but it says, God's special message for today. It is hot. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And this is Romans 13:12. In a time like this, we should have but one object in view, the employing of every means that God has provided by which the truth may be planted in the heart of men. It is the duty of every Christian, so we have a duty to strive to the utmost of his ability to spread abroad the knowledge of the truth. So we have to spread the knowledge of the truth. God had waited long, and he is waiting still to have beings that are his by both creation and redemption listen to his voice. So we have to be able to hear the still voice of God, to discern his voice and to obey him as loving, submissive children whose desire is to be near his side and to have the light of his countenance shining upon them. We are to bear the third angel's message to the world, warning men against the worship of the beast and his image, and directing them to take their place in the rank of those who keep the commandment of God and the truth of Jesus. God has not revealed to us the time when his message will close or when probation will have an end. It is our duty. We have duties. We have responsibility. It's our duties to watch and work and wait to labor every moment for the souls of men that are ready to perish. And we know because of the crisis that's going on now, souls are ready to perish, to give up. Hearts are failing them because of things that's coming up on this earth, the things that's going on, and fearfulness of this virus that they can't see that a lot of people are losing their life. But let us trust the Lord, and he will put a hedge of protection around us and our family. And if we live or if we die, we're the Lord. We are created for his purpose. We're made for him. So let us trust in the Lord, and let us give our hearts to him. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. And we're going to ask you to do the prayer for us. Sister Carla,
amen.
When that time, 8 o'clock, we're going to do that. I just want to thank you, Sister Carla, myself, and Sister Leola for sharing, to be on the line and for sharing and to give us this wonderful, encouraging word that, you know, the Lord wants us to watch, wait, and labor. You know, we have to present the light that he have given unto us. All these things is our duty that the Lord wants us to do, and also the message that the Lord gave us that we to go out to those dying souls. So our prayer tonight is for us to, brothers and sisters in Advent Life, for us to ask the Lord to give us the strength, the courage, Lord, because we are going, as Sister Carla just remind us of the things that is going to take place. It's going to happen to us, but we know that we have a Lord here who promised us that our bread and our water will be sure. So thank you, Sister Carlo, for sharing. Is there anyone else, Sister Leola?
Yes, Sister Powell. We have 631-522. Your line is open.
Pleasant good night, Sister Leola. Sister. Present good night, Sister Loyola. Present good night, Sister Powell. This is Brother O'Neill calling from Bronx, New York. Good
Amen.
Night to each and everyone. Good night to each and everyone who's on the line. I want to thank God for his goodness. I want to thank God for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy in my life. In spite of all that is going on around us, God is still here for us, protecting us. And God wants us to have the spirit of faith, not the spirit of fear, so that we can grow into his grace and his knowledge, and so others can see that we are not fearful, but we are hopeful, because soon and very soon, all that we see going on will come to an end, because our Father promised us in John the 14th chapter that he's going to prepare a place and will come again. So let us have that faith that our heart not be troubled, promise, and his promises are sure. Thank you, Sister Viola, and Sister Paul, for opening up my line.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Brother Honeel, for sharing. Yes, we must not have a spirit of fear, but to have faith in God, because He promised us, you know, that He's going to prepare a place for us, and He is there to keep us. So thank you for sharing, and we are asking our brothers and sisters here on Advent Light, if you would like to share, just press number one. We have a short time.
Mm-hmm. So give me, who is speaking tonight? Who will be speaking?
Well, Brother O'Neill will be presenting the message. So
okay.
Tonight,
well,
and we just
because
yes, okay,
because
all right,
gonna
Sister Leela, we're going to ask Sister Carlo.
So let's go.
We're going to ask Sister Carlo if she could pray, and Brother O'Neill will be presenting the message, and Brother O'Neill, I'm asking you, we are on a scheduled time here. Our brothers and sisters want to be obedient with temperance, that they want to go into resign to sleep, you know, before. So we are trying our very best by 8:30 that we finish up the program. So we just asking our brothers and sisters here on the line tonight to just get your notebook and your pen and your pen to put down your scripture passages. Yes, Sister Carla, can you open for Sister Carla to do the prayer for me, Sister Leela? Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Her line is open.
Sister Carla, can you pray for the request for Brother Eli? He's praying
mm-hmm.
for his mother, Jahari, and a few, just his team for me. And overall, Sister Brenda and Brother John, Sister Leola
okay.
and ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Kind and living Father, we come before you, Lord, with our prayer of thanksgiving, Lord. Right now, we want to lift you up. We want to thank you, Lord, for preserving us, Lord, to see this time, to see the things that your prophets, your disciples have talked about in the Bible, written about, oh, Lord. Our eyes are beholding them, Lord. Give us strength. Give us endurance. Give us help. Give us the ability, the love for you, the love for your truth, the love for others, oh, Lord, to endure and to share and to be witness and disciples unto you in these last days, Lord. You are soon to come, Father. 1,000 year with us is like one day with you, O Lord. And this is like no time for you, O Lord, that you are willing and you're ready to come for your people, Lord. Help us to be prepared. Help us to give the three angels message. Help us to give the warning, Father. Help us in the name of Jesus, Lord, where we have failed and come short. Please forgive us, O Lord. Help us, O Father, that the latter rain may fall upon us so that we can go with force, with strength, and to the dying, to the sick, to those whose hearts are failing them because of things that's coming upon this earth, Lord. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, or of love and of a sound mind. Please help us to remember that when we come in contact with those that are fearful, those that are anxiety, have an anxiety attack, whatever it is, Lord, those that are hungry, help us to feed them and to feed them spiritual food and physical food and help them and pray with them and witness for them, Lord. Lord, you heard the prayer requests. You know the needs of your people, O Lord. Brother Eli gave his prayer requests, O Father. Jahari, his mother, himself, and all the other brothers and sisters, Tatiana, he texted me, and Pablo, Lord, and those that he's been lifting up, Father. May you be with them, O Lord. May they witness what is going on, that they will give their hearts to you and they will accept you as their personal Savior before it's too late, O Lord. While you are knocking at the door of each and every one of our hearts, may we give our hearts wholly to you, O Father, not reserving anything for ourselves, O Lord. May we fall at your feet, Father, and repent and gain victory over sins, O Father. Help us, O Lord. Be with Sister Leola in the Marquay. Help her, strengthen her and her husband. Be with them. Supply their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Be with Jarvis, his children, and LaCole and her daughter, Father. Bless them and the family as a whole. Be with Sister Brenda and Brother John and their family. Help them, Lord. have mercy upon them, Lord. They want to serve you. They want to do your will, Father. They have given their hearts to you, oh, Father. Keep their hearts, oh, Father. Keep them through all that's going on around them, and let them spread the three angels' message and share with others that don't know you, Father. Let them be a mighty witness. I thank you for Sister Powell, all that she's doing, Father. Bless her in a mark where strengthen her, Father, and help her hold her hands up, Father, even when she is down and she's tired, oh Lord, and things are going on around her that she can't, you know, really explain or don't understand why, Father. You are her strength right now. Bless Sophia and her brothers and sisters, oh, Father, and the grandchildren of Sister Powell and her family and extended family and the community in a marked way. Be with each and every one of us, Lord. Be with me and my children, my family also, my co-workers and those that I intercede on the behalf, as there's one brother, Brother Desmond, I believe, in Grenada, Father, that's lost his loved ones, oh, Father, and he himself, Lord, is on the brink of death, Lord, but you have the final word. I ask that you will touch him, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that he will have a testimony of your mercy, your love towards him. But if it's your will that he would go, Lord, I pray that he has accepted you as his Savior. Bless those around him that's trying to help. Bless each and every one in the different countries and the part of the world, Lord, who are doing the missionary work, who is trying to help their neighbors and people around them, Lord. Be with Brother O'Neill in a special way, Lord. Continue to bless him, help him, strengthen him. Be with his children and their mother and the community back in Jamaica, Lord. Supply their needs according to your glory and your love and your mercy, O Lord. Have mercy upon us as a whole, your people, O Lord. Help us, Father. Help us not to be fearful, Lord. Help us, O Lord. We pray and we thank you, Lord. Bless the unspoken prayer requests also of each and every one of us. And we thank you ever so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Carla, for that prayer. And also thank everyone who joined. And brothers and sisters, we saw the weakness that God have done with this blind man. And because this blind man knew the goodness of God, he went around and he's sharing and doing evangelism work out there to tell others what God have done. So we all here is a witness, sister and brother. So let us take it on our duty this time. After we are at home, let us share the goodness of God and also the message that God gave us to share. The next voice that you will hear, brothers and sisters, is Brother O'Neill. Thank you all for joining. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Brother O'Neill, you are there? Okay.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, we are here. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Most kind of eternal Father, we're truly thankful for your goodness towards us, your people. We're truly thankful that you're our God, and in you we put our confidence, and in you we put our trust. In spite of the things that we see happening around us, it is telling us that you have allowed these things to help us to recognize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Father, we thank you that you are our God. You promise us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You promise us you will be with us even unto the end. Father, we know that this crisis has caused so much death globally and even in our America. And people are fearful of what is coming. But Lord, help us as your people, Lord, to put our trust and our confidence in you. Father, you promise us, Lord, your protection. And help us, Lord, to be a living epistle so that men can see that we're not fainting in spite of what is going on, but we're holding on to our only hope, which is Jesus Christ. Inspire your people tonight, Lord, as I present. I pray that you will be a blessing to each and every one of us. We just need to pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, in Ecclesiastic chapter 7, the 29 chapter, Ecclesiastic chapter 7, the 29 chapter, it says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God had made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." God had made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. So man always evolving with ideas and things. In other words, to say that they can make this world a better place. But many things that man have created is for their own destruction. Many things that man has created is for their own destruction. Proverbs, the 28th chapter. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Proverbs 28, verse 26. "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." The Bible says so clear. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So, if we have our own idea, and we don't want God to guide and to lead us, then we're a fool. I want to share something pertaining to a document that I have, pertaining to what's going on. He said in chapter 1, said telecommunication companies are going green, but their version of green will cause illness and death. When the Federal Communication Commission, FCC, approved the use of 5G microwave communication technology in 2016 and approved the use of microwave frequency in 30 gigahertz range, they open the door to even higher level of human illness and severe disability for American children and adults. When you listen to that statement that I just read, it says, microwave radiation, such as that currently being used in cell phones, Wi-Fi routers, and smart meter, has already been linked to numerous health effects. The introduction of even more intense level of microwave exposure at a higher frequency will push many people into life-threatening chronic illness. High-frequency microwave radiation is often overlooked as a causative factor in illness because most conventional healthcare providers, government regulators, telecom companies, and electric utility believe microwave radiation used in communication technology is harmless. That's a lie, right? Despite the warning being raised by scientists, well-informed healthcare providers, and grassroots organizers about existing future microwave hazard, telecommunication companies are planning to implement 5G technology throughout every urban area in America. You heard that statement? Every urban area in America. They are already testing this new generation wireless telecommunication infrastructure in Boston, Austin, Porto Alto, Mountain View, California. In January 2017 announcement, AT&T described their plan for future technology deployment. The announcement stated, "Our 5G evolution plan will pave the way to the next generation of high speed for customers." We're not waiting until the final standards are set to lay the foundation for our evolution to 5G. We're executing now, said John Donovan, Chief Strategy Officer and Group President, Technology Operation. So the battle to implement 5G has begun in California. A lot of protesting was going on in California for this 5G technology that they wanted to implement. It says, here another statement, health dangers of microwave radiation as well documented. The symptoms of microwave radiation exposure include fatigue, headaches, heart palpitation, high pitch ringing in the ears, dizziness, disturbed sleep at night, sleeplessness in daytime, moodiness, irritability, insociability, feelings of fear, anxiety, nervous tension, mental depression, memory impairment, pain in the muscles, pain in the region of the heart, and breathing difficulties, to name a few. So we see this coronavirus that has been going on, and many people suffer from many of these symptoms during the diagnosis for corona. I continue. There's evidence that existing new frequency of microwave radiation are associated with cancer, heart disease, neurological dysfunction, and immune system suppression, cataracts of the eyes, sperm malformation. So this is what the 5G technology that they're implementing. And you heard what the person from AT&T says. They want to implement this thing fast, without any delay. Here's what this doctor says. In a testimony before the California legislation, Dr. Ann Lee, MD, indicate that there are 20,000 established scientific studies on the bio effects of radio frequency radiation. She confirmed that microwave radiation, such as that from the proposed 5G wireless facilities that would be deployed in California, has been shown to cause neurological damaging. That means our brain, that cardiac dysfunction, or heart right there, reproductive arm. So kill the reproductive system in the male and the female, right? Immune compromise or immune system compromise, right? And cancer. So you see, that's not my words, that's from a doctor. You know what Dr. Ron Powell, PhD, expands upon these concerns. Dr. Powell received his doctorate in applied physics from Harvard University in 1975 and has worked for the National Science Foundation and the National Institute of Standard on the Energy Policy and Research and R&D Program Evaluation. He's uniquely qualified to interpret the junction between the physics of electromagnetic fields and the bio effect of these fields produced. In a letter to the FFC, Dr. Ronald Powell stated, listen to this statement, it will greatly extend FFC current policy and the mandatory radiation of the safety. It would eradicate everyone, including the most vulnerable, to harm from radio frequency radiation, pregnant women, unborn children, young children, teenagers, men of reproductive age, the elderly, the elderly, right? The disabled and the chronically ill. How many people died from corona? What was their complaint? They had other complaints. So we see what's going on. AT&T let us install microwave transmitter on your home or lose service. That's AT&T statement. Listen to this now. Now what? More than 50% of homes are wireless. Telecom companies plan to abandon copper phone lines used to the phone service and create wireless phone system. For example, Michigan has passed a law permitting this, and AT&T is working with all 21 states in its service territory to bring this about. As an alternative to wired system, telecom companies plan to install wireless microwave transmitter on homes as a method of providing traditional phone service. In the case of AT&T customer, the only way you will able to prevent them from installing such devices on your home is to remove AT&T as your service provider. You heard that one? In addition, telecommunication companies plan to install microwave antennas on top of electrical power poles near homes and businesses, and on top of public buildings throughout every urban area and every neighborhood. Why they close the schools? Why they telling everybody to stay home? Why? You heard what I just read, right? Why they telling everybody to stay home? Because they're implementing something that will cause a pandemic, a death toll in America that has never been seen. As I listened to the governor yesterday, he says the death toll for 9/11 was over 2,700 people. And now the death toll for corona in New York City is over 6,000 people. Not just corona. But as people of God, God has promised us something. Before I continue, I'm going to the Bible again. In Psalms 103, verse 1 to 5, it says, "Blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, blessed is only me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." In spite of what is going on, we should not forget his benefits. We are on the land of the living in spite of what is going on. God has preserved our life. Who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crown thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So in spite of what is going on, I'm just giving you this information for us to be aware of what is going on, how we can do things to protect ourselves from these things, and not just ourselves, but for others, to let them aware of exactly what is going on. We know in whom we believe. Our God has always provided ways for us to escape. As we see what happened in Egypt when he said the blood must go over the doorpost, and whosoever put the door over the doorpost was to be saved by what was to come. And as we see, we need the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives as we face something that has never been seen in modern history. A total shutdown of many countries. People are dying from poverty, hunger, starvation. It's crazy what is going on. And this is telling us that we cannot put our trust and confidence in man. And even in ourselves, as Proverbs 28 tells us. I continue to share some more information that I know that is very important for us to know. It says, Nita Betty described the situation in an article she wrote for StopSmartMeters.org. She is the moderator of the Wireless Radiation Alert Network and distributes her research about the harmful effects of electromagnetic fields and the danger of smart meters on her website, smartmeterarm.org. Nita Betty stated, space approximately every 10 to 20 ohms, cell antennas will hang in one or more cluster on utility or light poles, equipment, cabinets, the size of a refrigerator with cooling fans and backup generators will sit on sidewalks, towers. Towers will be located in the public right of way, a few feet from bedroom windows, office, schools, hospitals, and nursing homes. Heard that one? So it's going to be what? Schools, hospitals, offices, bedroom windows, and nursing homes. Cause small cells. There's little differences in size. For many of these antennas, the chief difference is the location of utility poles versus large towers. Measurements of these cell towers recently taken in Palo Alto found high levels of radiation on the sidewalks below them, level higher than those associated in research with breaches in the blood, breaches in the blood-brain barrier, free radical formation, DNA damage, and cancer and tumors, heart rhythm disturbance. Do you see the dangers of these things? I continue. Nita Betty is specially describing the process system that would be implemented in California if the telecommunication company get their way. Currently, a bill permitting the establishment of the 5G system has been passed by the California Senate. A legislative committee will be considered the bill. A rally of State House in Sacramento is planned. So she says, urgent call for action for California. So they started this thing in California, protesting about the 5G from that time, from 2017. Now we're in 2020. Why do telecom companies want a 5G network? The merger of telecommunication with electrical utilities. Telecommunication giants plan to take the 5G nationwide. It is part of a long-term, listen to this statement, it's part of a long-term plan to integrate telecom activities with electrical service provider. A 2015 white paper written by telecom companies, electrical utilities, and technology developers published in the European Union described the vision for the future. As I interpret the image that these European visionaries are creating, I believe that they are foreseeing a day when electric power and distribution will be controlled by the 5G network. So not just for your cell phone, it's for everything, every electrical field and technology. In this future vision, large-scale power production facility will be placed by hundreds of thousands of small power producers, which would either include personal power production in our homes and solar and wind. So they're not just targeting the solar and the wind turbines. So not just, they want to go in everything. They want to go in everything. Listen to this part before I close. I close shortly. So he says, wireless technology allows you more control of your home, but at what cost? The 5G system will monitor not just consumption of power, but will monitor and control the redistribution of electric power across the entire electrical grid. The 5G network will be the nerves and sense organ of massive organism that has central brain somewhere, which controls the form of information exchanged and electric utilization production. Electricity will be used for all aspects of household and business activities, and the 5G network and the centralization brain will control everything. It will control everything. Electric will be, he says, and he says, in the beginning, the speed of the 5G network will be marked to customers as business who want super fast internet service. This will allow for instant access to videos, web page, with as little as 5 milliseconds delay from the moment a start button is pressed. Transmission speed will be hundreds of times faster than current internet connection. It will be so fast that it will be able to instantaneously project images of the lenses of small enabled eyeglasses to create virtual reality in image that blend with the environment. So we see what's going on. So man creates things to speed up and make things more easy, and in other way, for many it may feel like this is something good that we want. This is something that we want. We want to able to just open up our phones and open up our computer and see things fast. We can multitask and do our work better. That's how they wanted to see one thing to look. But that's not the case. Psalms 104, verse 14. And we know who's behind these things, the enemy of our soul, because he knows that if he can deform the human frame and make us into infidels, then we will not have the ability to discern and to understand the will of God. Psalms 104, verse 14. Psalms 104, verse 14 says, he that causes the grass to grow for the cattle,
mm-hmm.
and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. So, our God, you tell us that our bread and water will be sure in spite of what is going on.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 reads, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and to keep all his statutes, and will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptian, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Amen.
So we have
Amen.
A Savior that healeth thee. In closing, I want to read two quotes. In closing, Christ's Object Lesson, page 288. Christ's Object Lesson. So we see that man create all these things not to help us. And we know who is the person who's behind all of this. Christ's Object Lesson, page 288. paragraph 2 and paragraph 3. It says, God desired to make of his people, Israel, a praise and glory. Every spiritual advantage was given them. Are we here something familiar here? Every spiritual advantage was given them. Same thing has been given to Seventh-day Adventists. God withheld from them nothing favor to the formation of character that would make them representatives of himself. The 1888 message has been rejected, right? But that message in Revelation 18, that the glory of the Lord will come back. It says, the obedience of the law of God would make them a marvel of prosperity before the nations of the world. He who could give them wisdom and skill in all cunning work would continue to be their teacher and would ennoble and elevate them through obedience to his law. If obedient, they would be preserved from the diseases that afflict other nations and would be blessed with vigor of intellect. The glory of God, his majesty and power, were to be revealed in all their prosperity. There were to be a kingdom of priests and princes to God. Princes, God furnished them with every faculty for becoming the greatest nation on earth. So God has given us so much as a people. God has given us all the health books that we need. He has given us all the prophetic counsels that we need. He gave us everything. God gave us schools, sanitariums, but they are closed. Many of them are closed now, right? So in spite of what is going on, imagine if all of us were trained medical missionary for this time. What work would be doing right now to help people aware of what is coming? God is not the author of what is going on. As I close this from, as I close with great controversy, I want you to know who is behind all this that is going on. Satan, in Great Controversy, page 289, paragraph 2. Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared soul. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories. Who's in the laboratories? The coronavirus, they said, was came up through the labs. God don't destroy people. So who is the author? Who is in the lab? Satan, he has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature. He uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. When he was suffered to afflict Job, all quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away. One trouble succeeding another as a moment. It is God, listen to this part. When you listen to this part carefully as I close. It is God that shields his creature and edge them from the power of destroyer. But the Christian, listen to this part, but the Christian world has shown contempt for the law of Jehovah. And the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth and remove his protection care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. Satan has control of all. Listen to this part as I close. My last sentence, my last paragraph before I close. Satan has control of all who God does not especially guard. He will favor and prosper some in order to further his own design, and he will bring trouble upon others and lead men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. God is not afflicting us. God loves us. Psalms 103 said, he healed all our diseases. The ministry of Christ when we was here on this earth, Christ was going all around and healing all manner of diseases. One of the diseases that was so contagious of Christ's time was leprosy. And Christ touched the leper. Christ is not afraid. But now the people of God, we're afraid of corona. Don't come close, social distancing. If we have the power of God in our lives, then we should be doing the work that Christ has called us to do in the last days. As we listen to this, what I've shared, I hope that it will help us to analyze our lives and see what work, in light of what is going on, what we need to know, what about to do spiritual and mentally and spiritually. We must have that in our mind. We must be aware of what is going on so that we can be able to help others, especially our families, our friends, our neighbors, that this is the time that we are living, as Timothy foretold, perilous time we are living in. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But for the Christian, as we see these things, we should be all our God. Let us pray. Most kind, loving, and eternal Father, we are truly thankful for your goodness, for your people. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercies. In spite of what is going on, O God, you have given us precious promises. And Father, we as a people, God, we have failed you many times. Father, a time when we should be working, O God, we're not working, we're relaxed. We're doing all manner of things that we should not be doing at a time like this. We should be asking you, as you have given the disciples the command to go and to have the upper room experience so that they could receive the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we need the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. But, Lord, there's so much in our lives that we need to be cleansed. Lord, we want selfishness, pride, and arrogance, Lord, to be removed out of our lives so that your Spirit can come in. As a disciple of all, Lord, we are contending for that who should be this and who should be that, who is the greatest. But, Lord, until we have the spirit of humility, O God, that you desire to give us, so that you can pour out your spirit upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us, Lord. We pray for those who are afflicted at this time. We pray for those who are suffering. We pray for the family that is mourning the loss of a loved one. As this death toll rises daily, O God, there are many people are going down, Lord, not because of COVID, going down of COVID-19, but going down into a Christless grave, O God. Help us as your people, Lord, to see the need. As you have said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man shall work. There's no repentance in the grave, O God. So help us, O Lord. The person that we see today, Lord, we may not see them tomorrow. Help us to witness for you, O God. Have mercy upon us, Lord. That your will be done on earth as we're about to close off the night, Lord. I pray that your holy angel will dispatch to keep watch over us, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray, thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for presenting this wonderful information, you know, about the 5G and the system that they're trying. And you know what? We need more time to, or we have to do these things in two parts, because this information is very important to us, for us to be more educated about these things. So we just want to thank you for presenting this information to us. And also, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you, everyone who joined. Remember, tomorrow night will be Sabbath night, and we asking everyone to prepare for the Sabbath and come out. Thank you for sharing, and God bless you, and you have a blessed night. God bless. Bye.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, and good night. Sorry, Sister Powell, clip won't play. Sorry, I'm just gonna end it, sisters and brothers. Good night.